Okay, we're going to call the Senate Education Committee meeting to order. Today's date is February 16th. Time is 8 o'clock. In attendance today, we have co-chair Senator Thomas, vice chair Senator Davis, Senator French, and myself, co-chair Meyer. So we do have a quorum to conduct business today. Also, again, want to welcome Senator Diesel. Welcome. Today, we're going to revisit Senate Bill 43, the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program, and also hopefully have time to get to and begin Senate Bill 83. As you may recall, last time we took up the Senate Bill 43, the Performance Scholarship Program, was on Friday. We made several changes, amendments to the CS that we were working on. So with that, we decided we would bring forth a new CS with the changes that we had discussed on Friday. So to get the process started, and if there's nothing else for the good of the committee before we get started, let's go ahead and bring the new CS forward. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adopt CS for Senate Bill 43 version /D as our working document.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing and hear none, hopefully everybody has the version D. You'll find that in the upper right-hand corner of the bill.
You're going to object.
And I'll object so we can discuss it. Thank you, Senator Thomas. And so, Senator Thomas, do you want to make or do you want to explain the changes?
Let me just make a couple of preliminary comments anyhow. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This CS is the culmination of work done on the part of the administration, legislative work during this session and last, as well as two legislative task forces that met throughout the interim. We think we've come to some good compromises and agreements on many of the key points in the program. Staff is here to walk through the changes in the CS that we discussed at last Friday's meeting. You have the newest, you have that CS before you, and it's been highlighted to expedite our walkthrough. So we'll have staff come forward at this time if you would like, and explain those changes in detail. Most of them are things we've already discussed and have jockeyed back and forth, and we think we have it right now.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas. And yes, Mr. Richmond, I do appreciate you color-coding all the changes. This is very handy. Hopefully this is done now electronically, not with colors.
Yes, sir, it is.
Otherwise, you were a busy guy. So, Mr. Richmond, if you could please explain the changes to the committee.
Yes, for the record, my name is Murray Richmond. I'm co-aide for the Senate Education Committee. The document that the committee members have before them have two highlights. The yellow highlights are the work that we have previously done, passed, gone over, and I've just highlighted that area so you can know where we might differ from the bill that we originally received. The blue highlights reflect the work that we have done since Friday, and the first one you'll see is on page 3. Starting on line 30, we had some questions come up about that at the end of the meeting, and the basic change that is made here is that colleges and universities, as well as certified career and technical school programs, are now subject to the two yellow items, 2 and 3, starting on line 9 down below. Those are the items that require advisory programs for incoming students and provides courses and credits. We changed, you asked a change for the courses and credits that we use the phrase customary, and so that phrase has been changed within a period of time customary for that degree or certificate. One other change, because we are requiring all institutions to have some kind of counseling, we took out the part for personal challenges, thinking that for career and technical schools, that might be an onerous burden. And so they do have to do academic advising and career advising, but they don't necessarily have to have a psychologist or anybody like that on their staff. UAF does that with student services. I think UAA, UAS do that. Other schools do, but a career tech school might not have the resources to do that. So that's one change that's been made. Moving on, most of the other changes have to do with refining the language of which how the funds work. And you have a diagram before you showing the basic breakdown of how the funds, where they come from and where they end up going. And at the end of the meeting, we had a discussion with Eddie Jeans, Jerry Burnett, and myself on how to sharpen that language up to make it clear and make sure everything goes to the right place. So on line 5, starting on line 15, that is...
Sorry, page...
Page 5, line 15, that is language that sharpens up where the funds go. Number 1 there in blue talks about the two types of awards that are subject to these fundings, and 2, 3, and 4 talk about where those funds go. So we changed the order and some things there, but that's just to sharpen the funding up. Moving down to line 28, we had an amendment on the floor to change awarded to available. After working with legal, we came up with the changes you see in your document. That now reads, the amount annually available to the commission for payments of grants awarded under, and that statute is the performance scholarship statute, may not be less than one-third of the amount awarded for scholarships under, the first one is the Alaska Advantage. 1443,400 is the Alaska Advantage. May not be less than one-third of the amount for scholarships under, and that's the scholarship award. So everything else in that paragraph is the same. The next change that you see is on page 7, line 16. The last CS that we looked at repealed the Alaska Capital Income Fund. However, the revisers thought that we might have single subject problems with the title in repealing a fund with a bill that's supposed to establish a scholarship, and so we did not do that. That fund, were this to pass, would be emptied out and zeroed out, and would need other legislation for it to be repealed. So starting at line 16, we've changed that language. Instead of repealing that fund, we have that money going to the investment fund, or excuse me, to the income award fund. The next change is on page 8. And this is the Amaretta Hess clause, and again, we sharpen the language on where the Amaretta Hess money goes into, and made that an appropriation and not a deposit. We cannot bind the legislature in terms of what it does with the money, and so that money would be appropriated and not deposited, and it would go to the award fund. The next change, I believe, is all the way at the end of the document on page 14. We changed the date of the transfer to the investment fund. That this comes before the end of the fiscal year rather than at the beginning of the new fiscal year, and that made more economic sense, it seemed. Number B, because the investment fund is calculated on a 3-year average of investments, that would mean the first 2 years we would not be able to make any awards because there's not a 3-year average of investments. And so B here is transition language that gives the commission the ability to make awards in those first 2 years based on an annual average and a monthly average. And finally, on page 15, line 30, Diane Behrens had requested that we put two effective dates, different effective dates, for the two clauses that talk about the need for counseling and the need to finish courses in a timely manner, and we changed those effective dates. And those are all the changes that we've made.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Richmond. Obviously, you've done a lot of work on this, and I do appreciate that. One question I have, the diagram you referred to.
Yes, sir.
Where all the funds are going to go. I think everybody has this. I think we pretty much are just going to take your word that this is how it works, and but and I'm not too concerned about it because obviously this goes to finance next, and they're gonna focus on that, or even change it probably entirely. But you said you did work with Mr. Burnett on the funds and the fund names and how it all works. Okay, so you're comfortable that we've got it?
Yes, sir.
We got it correct. Okay,
and we've passed the different versions on to both Eddie Jeans and Mr. Burnett.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Questions from the committee? Okay. And I do recall Friday that I think the amendments we were making to the CS mostly impacted the Alaska Advantage Program, and you've been working with Ms. Behrens on that. And I do see she's here, so we can verify that. But, okay, she's nodding yes. Okay. Well, very good. Did a good job. Thank you much. Thank you, Edra, for your help as well. I think we probably will want to talk to some of the folks here from the administration. The Deputy Commissioner, could you join us, please? And it's my understanding that I know the Commissioner was here last time we met, and you're here in his place today, so we do want to ask you some questions, but go ahead, put your name on the record, please. Yeah,
for the record, my name is Les Morse. I'm the Deputy Commissioner at the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development.
Okay. Thank you, Les. Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Deputy Commissioner, we, and you participated in some of these discussions, as we went through it, there was concern that there are some schools that do not have the curriculum in place that would even allow kids to qualify for the scholarship. And we just wanted to make sure, and I know you've been working on it, but if you could just a few comments, brief comments on how that's coming or how you see that going forward, because I know there are some people that are concerned and thought we should have more specific language, but we thought those types of things done through regulation and by district are better off than us trying to force them done. So if you have some comments to make, we'd greatly appreciate hearing those.
Okay. Co-Chair Thomas, there are a few things that we're doing. First off, we've for more than a year now, we've been really looking very closely at what districts currently offer, which is what's in state regulation relative to the slightly more requirements of the Alaska Performance Scholarship. For example, right now, districts have to offer 3 years of social studies, but there's a difference in the performance scholarship, same with the other courses. So we've been looking at that. Then we've been looking at capacity of correspondence schools within their own districts, capacity of statewide correspondence schools, as well as some support we've been doing for a statewide virtual school or a learning network that will offer those types of courses. So we're moving forward with due diligence to make sure that those offerings are out there, make sure we know what areas and what students we have to target to make sure those offerings exist that go above the current regulations, but then meet and provide the opportunity for people to take the courses needed for the Alaska Performance Scholarship.
We know that's not a simple task anyhow, so because it requires teachers, more teachers, et cetera, in some areas where that's a difficult task to entice or enhance those teachers to come to those to some of those districts and areas. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions, Senator French?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you just tell me a little bit more about the correspondence course offerings? What their content is, who designs that curriculum, and what the success rate of our school-age kids are with respect to finishing those on time.
Through the chair, Senator French, I wouldn't be able to speak necessarily to finishing the success rate of finishing those on time. That, however, there are a number of statewide correspondence schools where students can take courses. Regardless of where they live, they're sponsored by school districts themselves. There's numerous examples. I don't want to pick any particular one out, but we have about 14 districts that offer education to anyone in the state. It could either be a full-time correspondence student who's homeschooling, or it may be selected courses. When we surveyed these programs last year, there are both remedial courses that they're offering, but then there are advanced level, and that's what we were interested in particularly for this program. Do they have advanced level math courses and science courses that they offer? And in fact, that's the case. In the last year, we've actually brought on an additional correspondence school that runs a statewide program, and then there are numerous ones that run in-district programs. In terms of the courses that they offer, they're usually depending on either developed courses that they themselves have developed using commercial products, textbooks to supplement that, or there's particular curriculums that they guide parents to purchase, and then the district's responsible for making sure those align to our state standards, whatever those course offerings are. But I can assure you that within those programs, there are advanced level courses available that, for math, for example, that could take you through an algebra sequence up through a calculus, into calculus. And so I think the offerings are there. Part of that issue is working logistically. How do you have students who are ready to take those advanced types of courses do that when they're also in a brick-and-mortar school, maybe for some of their other courses, which is very doable. As a principal, I had students doing that at the middle school level, so it is certainly possible. It does require we think a little bit different about education and be much more student-centered in our thinking versus adult-centered in our work in a school.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. While we have you here, I know the position of the governor and the governor's office is to remain neutral on this, and I think most of the bills that we have before us. But the bill as we've crafted it, is it workable as far as the administration goes?
Chair Meyer, I believe the committee's worked carefully with our staff and with Diane Behrens, and I think that as this moves forward, we can make this piece of legislation work if this is what gets through the process.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. No other questions. Thank you very much, Les. Okay. I know we have several visitors here from various PTAs, and unfortunately, you're seeing the maybe not so glamorous part of putting legislation together as we finalize this and make the mechanics of it all work. But basically, we are finished now with the performance scholarship program, and what we have here is both a merit and a needs-based scholarship program, and we're just kind of putting the final touches to it. And is there anything else that we need to discuss on Senator French?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had in my packet a proposed amendment from Senator Stevens. Am I correct in assuming that proposal was adopted or put into the CS?
That is a correct assumption, yes. Thank you for bringing that up, since Senator Stevens isn't here today to defend himself. So thank you, Senator French. Okay, anything else? Okay. Okay, again, I want to thank our staff, both Edra and Murray, for working very hard on this and keeping track of all the floating pieces. I think we do have a couple of fiscal notes with this as well. Let's see if we still have them. I think there was three different fiscal notes.
No changes in those, I guess.
Yeah, there's no changes. One's a zero and one's indeterminate. And then one was a $115,000. Yeah, those have not changed. That's correct, Mr. Chairman. Okay. There's nothing else. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move committee substitute for Senate Bill 43, version /D, to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal notes.
Okay. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, CS for Senate Bill 43 moves on to the next committee. Okay, with that, let's take a brief at ease. We're back. The next item before us, the Education Committee, is the CS for Senate Bill 83, which is version I, or backslash I, excuse me. Again, you'll see that, the version in the upper right-hand corner. And the title is An Act Providing for Payment and Loan Incentives to Public School Teachers for National Board Certification. So if I could have a motion to have this as our working document. Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move we adopt Senate Bill 83, version backslash I, as our working document.
Okay, and I'll object so we can discuss the CS. I believe we do have staff here again today to explain the new CS and the bill, and then we'll take questions and go right into public testimony. Mr. Richmond, if you can put your name on record again, please.
Murray Richmond, co-aide for the Senate Education Committee. I'd like to start presenting this bill with a story a friend of mine had told me. He was on a bus, and a man got on the bus with a CNI dog, and he was amazed as the CNI dog found an empty seat, took the man to the seat, sat quietly beside him, and they happened to get off at the same stop, and he saw the CNI dog take him around a hole in the sidewalk, and he walked up to this man and said, "That's an incredibly well-trained dog you have." And the man said, "This is not a trained dog." And my friend said, "What do you mean? I saw him take you to an empty seat on the bus and walk you around a hole." And he said, "No, this is an educated dog. A trained dog goes when you say go and stops when you say stop. An educated dog only goes when it's safe to go and only stops when it's safe to stop. They can take aware of the circumstances." And I guess I tell that to say what a difficult job it is for teachers to do education. You know, training is one thing, but to really educate a child is another, and we would like to give them every opportunity possible to better themselves in the work they're doing. And this bill is an attempt to offer incentives for teachers to improve their teaching skills by using the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards to become nationally certified. SB 1 offers incentives for teachers to become board certified. In Section 1, it offers teachers $1,000 a year if they already hold or attain a valid current national certification. We do not name the particular body because for name changes, if they were to change it or something like that, then we would be in statute with one. But we're looking for the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards, which is the recognized national board that does certify teachers, to do the certification. If a teacher gets certified, they would get an extra $1,000 a year as an incentive to do that. If they come from a high-poverty, low-performing area, they would get an additional $500, so they would get $1,500 a year for the duration of their certification. The certification by the National Board normally lasts 10 years. After 10 years, they would need to be recertified. For teachers who lived in a rural area, they would get an additional $1,000 stipend to go toward the cost of becoming certified. Currently, it costs $2,500 through the National Board to become certified. This is a rigorous process. This is not just filling out some paperwork, taking a few seminars, and then, you know, getting extra money a year. This is the equivalent of a master's degree in education, essentially. However, one that's more defined to the area that you would teach in. Section 2, in order again to encourage teachers to do that, we offer an interest-free loan of $2,500 that would cover most of the cost of certification. The money would be allocated to the departments or the districts and would be paid to the National Board of Professional Teaching Standards. The section develops an application process, asks the commission. The loan would be run through the Commission on Post-Secondary Education and ask the Commission to develop an application process, defines who is eligible, that would be employed by district department or district actively pursuing accreditation. They would have to sign a loan agreement. Loans would be made directly to the organization, and there would be penalties for defaults and then language for pro rata if there's not enough money available for everybody to have a loan. The National Board for Professional Teaching Standards is the recognized board, and as I've talked with all the people who've been involved with it, that is the only board that has been recognized, the only board that has come up. There are 25 different areas for certification, so a teacher is not just becoming certified to teach, they would become certified to teach early adolescent literature or something like that. And in your packet, there's a list of all 25 areas that are eligible for certification. And again, I would like to note that this is a very rigorous process. Again, this is the equivalent of a master's degree in education if they were to do this work. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Mr. Richmond, any questions? Senator Thomas.
Not necessarily. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not necessarily a question, but the teacher certification is not only, well, it's very comprehensive, too. It covers many of the things that we've talked about that we see are important, the assessment of kids, the parents' involvement, many of the things that we've talked about so much they just seem standard, and probably most teachers are aware of them, but it gives them the ability to achieve and incorporate those things into their teaching methods. So I think the attached information is extremely informal or informational, and I think a great compliment to the bill just to have it attached to it. So I appreciate you, even though it's a lengthy document, it's worth reading. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Thomas. Okay. Seeing no other questions, thank you, Mr. Richmond. Okay. We do have some folks who've signed up to testify. I believe some are here just for questions, and some are here just to listen, I believe. So let me just make sure. LaDon Druce, you're here just to listen? Okay. Okay, you're with that guy. Okay. And then, let's see. Okay. Okay. John Alcantara. You're going to test one. Okay.
Here.
Now? Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, please. There's another name here that I'm not sure I can read. Is it Kern with the?
Yeah, Kern, yes.
Okay. You're just here for questions.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Mr. Alcantara.
Yes. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Education Committee. For the record, my name is John Alcantara. I serve as Government Relations Director for NEA Alaska, representing about 13,000. Public school employees in Alaska. We definitely support Senate Bill 83 and very much applaud the efforts of this legislation. There were some notes, and I had two nationally board certified teachers from Anchorage that I hope to be able to testify today, but as often happens on a Wednesday morning, there was just no way for them to break away to be on the phone and be able to testify. They did provide some very, I think, copious notes and address some of the sections that I provided to the committee aide, so I'm not going to read them verbatim, but I did want to touch on a few pieces that they seem to think were incredibly important. Your committee aide, Mr. Richmond, already touched on the National Board for Professional Teaching Standards and why the legislation can't specifically say that. You'll probably get a lot of correspondence from teacher members asking that specifically, and I think the rote answer of not having to go and change statute will probably be a good one once we're able to get that information out to our members, and you are as well when they communicate with you. Specifically, though, there's on, I believe, page 3 of the I or India version, line 4, they do talk about employed by the department or public school district in grades kindergarten through 12. The information they provided was they'd like to see that statement changed, that the eligible teacher in grade K-12 be amended to, at a minimum, include preschool. And the age rate and the rationale is the age range for exceptional needs is birth to 21, and the statement currently in the bill could possibly deny funding to teachers currently working in special education preschool and also to teachers working with older special education students. So that's one thing that they've kind of highlighted. The next thing that I think some of our larger districts may be a little bit concerned about, our four largest districts, Anchorage, Mat-Su, Fairbanks, and the Kenai, already provide incentives in contract of around $2,000 annual addendum. So I guess just for the record, we hope to supplement and not supplant money that's already being paid to National Board Certified Teachers, and certainly expect the districts will look at it that way, that if there's a addendum, a stipend, an additional $1,000 coming from the department, that be in addition to anything that's already at a local school district. And then also, there is part of on the certification itself, I guess that's back on line two of page two, when it talks about the $1,000 actively pursuing certification. As Mr. Richmond mentioned, it is a $2,565 process to try to achieve the certification. But one of the things mentioned was is you can retake, a teacher can retake individual sections, and it costs about $350 to retake one component. And as it says in some of the notes, many candidates retake more than one section. So they asked specifically if this section could be more specific, $1,000 paid toward the cost of, quote, initial certification, and no more than $1,000 annually for teachers retaking one or more components, end quote. So that's another suggestion that they had that I think is worth noting for the record. The other part was talking about the application window and kind of fee schedule. Using this calendar year, for example, they mentioned that if you apply anytime in 2011, you pay $565 at the time of application, and the remaining $2,000 is due on January 31st of 12. They mentioned specifically that quarterly payments from the state to NBPTS could prove difficult. So if they applied late December of 11, they'd have only 1 month to pay the remaining $2,000. So that's some of the comments they mentioned. I did want to mention for the record that NEA Alaska has a jumpstart program usually held at University of Alaska Anchorage in the summer, in either June or August, kind of depending on folks' schedules. And we've had fairly good success, and that really kind of lays out the National Board Certification Program and tries to get people to go after National Board Certification. We agree with the committee in drafting the bill that having more teachers nationally board certified is a very good thing. And one of the things mentioned in the notes is that in states where they paid directly from the department, they have seen their word actually uses skyrocket the number of national board certification teachers. So apparently it's been working in some other states. I probably haven't done the research that Mr. Richmond and other committee had have done, but it seems to be people that are actually nationally board certified. This is from Tara Bivens and Derry Rule up in Anchorage. They seem to, obviously be very supportive, but have those kind of questions that I put out there for the record. So thank you, Mr. Chairman, and be happy to attempt to answer any questions if you guys had any.
Okay, very good. Questions? Senator French.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. How many of our teachers or how many of your members are currently certified, nationally board certified?
I'm sorry, through the chair to Senator French. I've actually heard a number between 110 and 120. So I think of the 120 that are nationally board certified now in Alaska, I think about 110 are members in Alaska.
That's out of 13,000 teachers or 13,000 members?
Through the chair to Senator French, that is out of about 8,000 teachers. The membership of NEA Alaska in rough numbers is about 8,000 certified teachers, 3,000 education support professionals, and a little less than 2,000 retired members.
Okay. And something like 120, you said, are certified?
Through the chair to Senator French. That's about the correct number, and I think the fiscal note speaks to about 20 or more a year being able to go through this program. And certainly we're efforting as an association to make sure that number is at least that.
Sure. And it's equivalent to a master's degree?
Yeah, through the chair of Senator French. I think Mr. Richmond put it very well, that it's equivalent to a master's degree. It's a recert every 10 years, and it's kind of specialized and focused. And a lot of times people, achieve master's degrees for that exact reason, that on a contract they'll get an additional $1,500 a year, $2,000 a year. They look at it and say they want to get better, and they have to get better and get recertified every year through the process. But also, is there that financial incentive to go and spend the money
sure.
to get a master's degree? Is that financial incentive there to go and spend the money and the time, if you will, to get nationally board certified?
The Anchorage School District pays extra for master's degrees?
Through the chair, Senator yes. French, yes.
How much?
I believe in Anchorage, I'm Anchorage president online, I think it's around $1,500 a year.
And does it pay the same amount extra for national board certification?
Through the chair, Senator French, in Anchorage, the annual addendum, if you will, for national board certification is $2,000
a year. Pay more for certification than for master's?
Through the chair, Senator French, I believe that's correct. I'll have to get you
precise number.
But that varies by school district. The policy in Anchorage may not be the policy in Fairbanks or here in June.
The chair and Senator French, that would be correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator French. Any other? Senator Thomas.
Along the same line, are those aggregated amounts then? If you do both masters and the certification, you receive both amounts.
Through the chair to Senator Thomas, I'm going to have to research on that one. I do believe that you receive both amounts, but I'll have to actually be in contact with some of these National Board Certified Teachers and make sure that it is indeed supplemental and not a supplanting one or the other.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure you're correct, but I'm going to get back with the committee to be definitive
Thank
before
you.
It moves on.
Okay, very good. Thank you, John. And
thank you,
perhaps somebody from the administration may have that answer to that question, too, and we'll bring them up as well. Okay, let's go on. I think it's Martha Fleming, Seward with PTSA. All right. Welcome, Martha. Did you come up from Seward?
Yes.
Very good. Welcome
yes.
to Juneau.
And I think I might be speaking as an individual because this isn't one of their talking points.
Okay. If you could just put your name on the record, please.
I'm Martha Fleming from Seward, Alaska. Okay. I'm a counselor at Seward High School for 17 years, and I've seen lots of teachers go through. And I just was speaking on this bill because there's a huge difference between National Board Certified and having a master's. The master's degree, at this point, I think there's many watered-down versions of master's degrees all over the United States. And the difference between a master's degree when you get a master's in teaching and being nationally certified is huge because to be nationally certified, you actually you buy the curriculum for the first $500, and you have a year and a half to basically go through your whole practice as a teacher. How the methods you use to teach, how you evaluate, how you talk to your parents, how you get that information out, and then after evaluating and proving what you say you do. By video, by reports and talking, then you also have a huge test at the end that covers all the curriculum that's very specified to counseling, to special education, to literature, to math, and the practice of it is so in depth that the teachers do need a little. I think it would make more people do it to have a little incentive. It's it would be hard to have a couple children, young children, and do it to go through this process. It's not an easy process. You have to be teaching at the same time. It's not for people that aren't in the school. And what you get out of it, what I think everyone gets out of it is, and what I've seen in Seward, and we only have a couple teachers go through that have been certified, their teaching abilities is far better, and their communication skills to the public are far, far better because of the process. So I think there's huge value to it, and I'm kind of speaking as an individual.
Okay.
I think the PTSA would support it too because it would be good for all the kids.
Very good. Thank you very much. Any questions? Okay. Seeing none. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Okay. Have Neva Herkin. Is that right? No. With Fairbanks. The rest of these I don't know if you want to testify for just here. Let's see if I can remember. Linda, is it Lynn Hall from Seward? Okay, just listen. Okay, Jenny Hammond, Nikiski. Let's listen. Okay, and then I think Al. Cardi, I think he left. So, okay, so that's everyone I had on the sign-in sheet here in Juneau. Is there anybody online to testify? Okay, very good. Then if we could, I think we've had some questions here, and I think I have some additional questions as well for the administration on this program. I'm not sure. Okay, you're the one in charge of this? You're the lucky one?
I'm the lucky one.
Very good. Well, welcome, and if you could, put your name on the record, please.
Good morning. My name is Cynthia Curran. I'm with the Department of Education and Early Development,
And I am a former National Board Certified teacher.
Okay, very good. There was a series of questions that Senator French had. I don't know if you're able to answer any of his questions at this point in time or if you need to do more research.
Through the chair, Senator French, would you mind repeating the question?
I think there's several there. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I think Mr. Alcantara answered most of them, but I do have one more, and maybe you're a better person to ask it. I don't think I asked this of Mr. Alcantara. And my question is you know, this is a rigorous process. It's conducted not in a university and not in a classroom, but it's conducted while the teacher is in his or her school. And I hate to say it via correspondence classes, but maybe you can just tell me a little bit more about what the process is like as a teacher working and working towards the certification at the same time.
Through the chair, Senator French, the process is very rigorous. It gives you the opportunity to take a look at your practice. I was in early childhood teaching first grade when I went through the process. I looked at the way children's language developed, their reading skills, their writing skills. I looked at math. I looked at social studies, building a community in the classroom. I also looked at science. This was while I was teaching. I was sent a box of information. I was making a portfolio, and so I was responding to the prompts. Now, there are five core propositions in National Board Certification. Each of the 25 areas has its own set of standards. So not only was I responding to the core propositions, I was also responding to the standards for early childhood. So as I was doing this, I got to choose the pieces that I would look more in depth at within the parameters. For the children's language development, you were given a six-week period of time, and you were to pick a student to focus on like a case study and watch how that child developed. Then you wrote about the process. You included pieces of the child's writing and reading. In the science, it was videotaped. 10 minutes for social studies was building the community, and then the science was a 20-minute lesson. In each of the things that I was doing, I had to show where it fit in the curriculum that the district had, as well as how it fit into the standards. So it gave me an opportunity to really look at what I was doing. And I have to tell you that when I was doing the science lesson and I went back and reviewed the videotape, I was absolutely appalled at the fact that I thought I was touching every child in the classroom and physically going and standing beside them. I discovered that that was not the case, and someone that I always thought that I was being near to say, you know, good job or whatever, I didn't even get near that child. So it really changed the way that I looked at my classroom and the patterns of what I did as a teacher. So from there, you turn in that portfolio at a certain period of time. Then there's an assessment center exercise. So for early childhood, we had to look at play. We had to, again, look at language development, looked more in depth at mathematics. And right now, I can't remember the last one. But you got a prompt on the screen, you read through it, and you had 90 minutes to respond to that prompt and show the people that would be scoring this what you knew about the topic, how you incorporated teaching to that particular standard and the core propositions with what you had done in your practice.
That's a good answer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And one other question, you may not know, it may be something we have to ask someone from the national certifiers, but can everybody finish this? I guess one measure of the rigor of a program is the degree to which not everybody can sort of get over the bar. Can every teacher who embarks on this National Board Certification finish it, or are there some who, for whatever reason, either can't pass the test, so to speak, or can't find the time to finish the program?
Through the chair, Senator French, not everyone who attempts National Board Certification will be able to become nationally board certified. While there is a retake process, if one does not score high enough on all the other pieces, the board has a retake calculator, so you can figure out the score you would need to make on a retake. The board also has a process called Take One, where before you even embark on the full certification, you could take one piece and see if National Board certification is for you. So at the time that I was nationally board certified, the pass rate was 67%.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Senator French.
Mr. Chairman, could I just piggyback on that? When did you complete your certification? What? How long ago?
Through the chair, Senator Davis. I was nationally board certified in 1998. I chose not to renew my certification because I had moved to the Department of Education and no longer was a classroom teacher. It's very important, because this is classroom-based, that you have a classroom of students that you relate with.
Can I continue?
Sure, please.
You have to recertify every year?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, the National Board certification is valid for a period of 10 years, and they let you know when you're coming close to the time to renew, so that you can make the decision whether or not you want to renew. We have many teachers in the state who have been nationally board certified, who continue in the classroom and do renew their certification.
All right, thanks.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Senator Davis. Just a few questions that I have. Looking at the bill itself, it talks about, in addition to the incentive payment, for teachers who are employed in a district with a high poverty attendance and receives low performance ratings. I guess the low performance ratings are pretty easy to tell which districts have that. Is it also fairly easy to tell which schools are in a high poverty area? Because I know the kids kind of come from all over the city sometimes.
Chair Meyer, the AYP calculations go to the school level so that you would know whether or not a school was making AYP or not making AYP, and I believe that is what this speaks to.
Okay.
It would be low performing.
Low performance. Okay. Okay. It also mentions high poverty attendance area, but
that's the question.
Okay. And then also, I'm assuming this only pertains then to public schools and not the private or religious schools?
Chair Meyer, as I was looking over the requirements, again, just to make sure that I knew about this, you can teach in a private school to do this. You could teach in a charter school. It requires that you verify your eligibility with the national board, so there is a process to verify that you are a teacher and where you are teaching and what you are teaching before they will let you proceed any further.
Hold on.
Your question is valid. How do you identify those areas?
Okay. Okay. Two things here. I'm getting more confused the further along I go here. So this program would also be eligible to teachers in private schools and religious schools. So you're saying no. Okay.
Chair Meyer, I believe I read that you needed to – I copied some things off of the website. It says hold a bachelor's degree, have completed 3 full years of teaching counseling experience, possess a valid state teaching counseling license for that period of time, or if teaching where a license is not required, which is not in the state of Alaska, have taught in schools recognized and approved to operate by the state.
Okay. I think I understand that. And then as far as the high poverty areas, that is something we can identify or is it just based on the performance?
Chair Meyer, yes, Title I schools are considered through the National Board as high poverty.
There you go. That's the answer I wanted. Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator French.
I sense that we were getting different, maybe I misunderstood, but I thought I was getting a feeling that there was a different answer coming from the aides.
Yeah, I think we are getting conflicting answers. So I thought, let me finish here with Ms. Curran, and then we'll have our staff come up. Maybe they've done some other research. Any other questions?
Yeah, before Ms. Curran leave, what is your connection to the certified teachers in the state of Alaska? Those are the NASA certification.
Through the chair, Senator from Davis. I used to be the head of teacher certification for the state of Alaska, and now I'm the director for teaching and learning support. So that teacher certification is one of the areas that I oversee in my division.
So what do you do to oversee those?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, teacher certification receives money from the federal government, receives funding to allow teachers to get some of the cost defrayed for National Board certification. We have an application process. We receive approximately $20,000 a year that we allot to teachers according to the criteria that are set forth by the National Board. Teachers go through the application process. Usually it's a first come, first serve process. If someone decides that they do not want to be nationally board certified, then their name drops off the list. We gather the names, and then when it's time to give out the funding, we ask them again if they'd like to pursue national board certification. It only covers $1,000 of the cost, so it does leave the other $1,500 that the teacher has to find funding for.
Okay, thank you. So at this time, you're receiving $20,000 yearly federal funds to supplement those people that are primed for national certification?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, that is correct.
Okay. So if I'm correct then, so you have a pool of money that's at the department that one could apply for. There are at least three or four school districts that's also paying for teachers to get certification. They might not be paying the full amount, and I guess we could find that out from the districts exactly what they pay. But I think someone said three or four schools have it. I think it came out of the Al Cantrell's remarks. So I know the Anchorage School District had that program way back, and they still have it. And I think they're paying up to $2,000. I don't know what the rest are. So, but they might be able to get the $2,000 from you, $1,000 from you, $2,000 from their school district. Will they be able to get both, or will they not be qualified for both?
Through the chair, Senator Davis, the $2,000 is the incentive after you've received National Board certification. And in Anchorage, what they've done is every year that you're board certified, you get that in addition to what you're making for your salary. So they're not paying the cost of your certification. That's borne by you, and then you receive the funding after you get the incentive payment after you're nationally board certified.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to have a clarification from the school districts on that, because if it's done that way, and I know they get the money afterwards, but I thought they also gave money towards getting the certification. We need to get clarification on it.
Okay. Well, very good. We're going to hold this bill over. So thank you very much, Ms. Curran, for your help. And we may need to get back with you here in the next couple of days. I would like, Murray, if you could just briefly answer my question that we seem to maybe have a difference of opinion on. And as I mentioned, we'll hold this over and perhaps can hear from some of the school districts. So I tell you what, we'll go ahead and close, since there's no one else online to testify. We'll close public testimony, but if we may have some invited testimony then on Monday. Mr. Richmond.
To the chair, Murray Richmond, co-aide for the Senate Education Committee. As to your question, the bill itself provides only for public school teachers. Teachers who are employed by the district, right, or by the department. The board itself, I think, has different standards for that. And When we were researching the bill, we didn't necessarily look at private schools as a part of this program.
Okay.
Also, Mr. Alcantara raised about quarterly payments. That was taken out of the original bill, and the CS reflects his concern is met.
Okay. So. Well, very good. Yeah, and obviously a public school teacher would include charter schools.
That is correct.
Alternative schools. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, very good. Thank you, Mr. Richmond, for bringing this bill forward. And as I mentioned, we're not meeting on Friday, so we'll bring this bill back up on Monday, as well as Senate Bill 9, which was Senator Davis's bill requiring the age for school attendance up to 17 from 16, and I think from 7 to 6 is what it was. So we'll bring that back up, and we've also closed public testimony on that. But as I mentioned, Senator Davis, if she has one or two people that she'd like to have, if they have additional information, we'll certainly want to hear from them as well. So with that, if there's nothing else to come before the committee this time, we're adjourned.